Okie dokie, roll 'em.
Hey, welcome to the starting block here for another Thursday. Got myself Greeno and flying solo this week while my co-captain is at home trying to work out what exactly is going on at Buckingham Palace. Glued to his screen. He's a big fan of the Royals, my co-captain Damo. So hopefully he's got his feet up and enjoying the coverage and the anticipation. It's like a thriller, whatever's happening there at Buckingham Palace today. It's a big meeting was called. No one's saying what it is. Who died? Someone died. No one died. Doesn't matter. Maybe one of the corgis died. We don't know. We'll find out tomorrow. And I'll get my co-captain to a big report for the show next week. All right, let's kick off. Let's review. Let's talk NRL. Let's talk what happened last week. Now, on the show, we do our tips week in, week out, and we talk about, you know, who we like and how close the tipping has been so far this year between myself and my co-host. And going into this round, where we were neck and neck, tied, completely across the line, dead heat, thanks for coming. After this round, though, different story. Greeno's got a bit more of a lead now. 6-4 in both of the AFL and the NRL tips. So, you know, just put a nice little buffer there. And not surprisingly, co-captain disappears this week, the week after I take a nice little lead. That's fine. Gives me another week anyway. We've got rep round coming up. It's in the NRL and the AFL. Well, I'm pretty terrible at those tips anyway, so I'm not too fazed. Let's have a look at what happened last week. The preseason favourite Penrith Panthers have completely just have not lived up to that hype. Now, it happens. Often the preseason favourite often struggles coming into the thing, but then they right the ship after a few rounds and go on to kind of do what's expected for the most part. This team, however, is a bunch of young kids who obviously believe their own hype. And quite frankly, they're not living up to it. Now, you've got a few little injuries there, not a huge amount, but for the most part, that squad's pretty much full strength, so they're not going to get too much better. But defensively, they were an embarrassment against the Broncos last week. Fans love their Thursday night footy. Let's not forget that. How did the ratings go, by the way? Thursday night footy all the way down there at 13. Almost got outrated, only by 2,000 people. Guardians of the Galaxy over there on Channel 7. To hot seat, our old mate Eddie Maguire was above it. An extra 32,000 people chose to tune in and watch Eddie Maguire at 5 o'clock opposed to Thursday night footy. And the checkout, the Chaser Boys, a little show on ABC there, an extra 60,000 more people tuned into the checkout than they did Thursday night footy. The fans, they love it. They love their Thursday night footy. The Broncos, they was up 28-0, something ridiculous like that early on, and we're just pumping those Penny Panthers. And obviously the Nine commentators had to make it sound like it was still a competitive game. So they were like, oh, Penrith scored a couple of quick tries and there was like 10 minutes to go, and Freddie, the intellect that he is, kept on talking about the math. The math, there's 12 minutes to go, they only need 12 more points, and they're still in this. Yeah, we can work that out, Freddie. But the math was, Penrith, still pretty shit. Broncos 32, Panthers 18, and the Panthers, they must be, with the exception of Newcastle, who are just complete murd, and we know they're going to be the tail end of the NRL ladder this year. They'll pick up the spoon, that's all fine. Let's have a quick squiz and see, you know, where exactly those Penny Panthers sit overall. And like, I can only think of two games they've won. They probably won three. No, I was right. Two, sitting 15th on the ladder down there. Two wins, seven losses. That's pretty embarrassing, all in all, considering the issues the West Tigers have had. The Rabbits have struggled. The Titans have had 9 million injuries. The Warriors have been a bit average. Down there in 15th, one win ahead of the Newcastle Knights. Good luck there at Penrith. I'm a big fan of Gus-A-Rama out there at Penrith, but the squad themselves, though, we were pretty critical on this show of the firing of Ivan Cleary and the bringing in of Hook Anthony Griffin. It turns out it might not have been the smartest move because the coach is already under pressure. The Rabbitohs, now, they're a bit of a shambles in themselves. This year, they're not competitive. They don't look competitive. All the Burgess boys seem to have lost their marbles in the fact that they can't seem to stay on the field. They're just getting suspended, making dumb moves. Sam Burgess, I think, shoulder charged last week. Got pumped by Supercoach Trent Barrett and the Manly Seagulls, who, surprisingly, playing pretty good footy this year. 5-4, currently sitting at 6th on the ladder. just destroyed the Rabbits 46-8. They got some good young talent there. Charlie Cherry Evans, obviously the million dollar man, guiding the ship a little bit. But you got the Trbojevic brothers there. They're a cracker. I'm a big fan of Apo Korosau. Dylan Walker's bit of potency there on the edge. Plenty of stuff to like. Akilo Uwate is having an amazing comeback year. Well, pretty much comeback player of the year for mine for old Aquila. They're not going to win it in the premiership, but they're making a good fist of it. Fist of the season, I mean. Cowboys, well, how about Parramatta Eels? Back-to-back wins. They don't look that impressive, but they're currently sitting seventh on the ladder as well, sitting on 10 points. They're tied with Manly, the Dogs, and the Cowboys. They're on 10 overall points, 5-4 currently sitting there. They beat the Cowboys. Now, I know the Cowboys are missing, you know, Jonathan Thurston, Matt Scott, you know, half a dozen other really top-line players, Lachlan Coote. But you'd still think they'd beat the Eels. Corey Norman was sensational. He had a really good game, and he's the glue that holds it together. And the Gutherson Starship, Clint Gutherson, he had an absolute crack. I think he ended up with 3 tries and 2 tries, his couple of goals. He had an absolute blinder, 26-6. Eels over the Cows. The Knights, we know, are garbage. They got pumped by the Gold Coast Crazy Malakas 38-8. And this is not what you want just before Origin time, when the Hain plane can just run right against a really piss poor Knights team. But they do so that's all you've heard. No, Hain for Origin. Knights, just abysmal. What are they? They're currently, we're only 10 rounds in, they've already got a negative 4 and against of 113. Closest is the West Tigers with minus 82. Actually, it goes to show how close Penrith have been, a little bit unlucky. You've got, yeah, minus 113 for the Knights, minus 82 for the West Tigers, minus 71 for the Rabbits, sitting there in 13th, 14th and 16th. Penrith are only minus 92 in the 4 and against, in the plus minus. It's pretty close. If they're losing, they're not losing by much. So yeah, a couple of you know, key tries here or there, and they might be a bit further up. But we'll wait and see there. You got the Doggies. They beat the Raiders. The Raiders, they another team that haven't really lived up to the hype coming into this season. This shouldn't have been a Raiders loss. This was just poor play, not enough execution, leading pretty comfortably at half time, and only a couple of tries, but at the same time looked like they had the game in the bag and just took the foot off the pedal. Very disappointing. And the Doggies got the win to go 5-4 ahead and sneak inside the 8. The Raiders currently sitting in 10th outside the 8. And someone made the comment the other day of this is very reminiscent of what Sticky did with the Sharks. He under the radar a little bit, to say they overachieved 1 year, and then the next year with all the hype struggled to live up to it because other teams have adjusted to the game plan. But we'll wait and see. I still think there's enough talent in that squad to be able to, you know, make a bit of damage come the business end of the season. So we'll wait and see. You got the Sharkies beat the Tigers 22-16. Bit of a spiteful affair. Gow with the diving, apparently looking for a career post football, thinking maybe Olympic diving there for Gal. And he claimed afterwards he's not a diver, he's not a cheater, he'd never do anything illegal. Well, let's have a look 2 years back, Gal. The Warriors beat the Roosters, and Roosters fans got a little bit salty, particularly one Gus Wooland, Triple M breakfast host, who basically anyone who was criticising the Roosters there on Twitter, I believe, he was getting an instant block from Gus. And even though the Roosters got a little bit lucky the week before last, where they kicked the winning field goal, this time they kick a field goal and an obvious penalty, they were offside, fair enough, and they're complaining about it. So suck it up, Roosters fans, suck it up. And while the Roosters going, they're in fifth, actually, they're going 6-3, not going too bad all in all. And with the big news today, the expected signing there of James Tedesco, like expected for the last couple of weeks, officially announced today. I'll touch on that in a sec. And then you got the Storm 34 beat the Dragons. This was a top of the ladder clash, 1v2, and it didn't live up to the expectation, because without Gareth Widdop, this Dragons side doesn't look that good. Storm were up, you know, 30-0 in no time, and it was all done and dusted. I didn't bother watching the game. I only just realised then the Dragons ended up scoring 22 points. I turned the TV off by that stage. Another thing that did happen, though, is a bit of a tip of the hat. Not really worthy of a nice Gary. But Cameron Smith became the most prolific goal kicker in Premiership history, breaking Jason Taylor's record. I forget how many it was, 500 or something like that. So he holds that record, and then he's about to equal Darren Lockie's record tomorrow night. I think it's tomorrow night when they're playing, where it will be tomorrow night, where he gets capped an Australian cap for the 50th time. It's just a crazy, crazy stat considering the longevity of both those two players, both stalwarts of the game and both, I wouldn't say champion people, because Cam, bit of a knob, but on the field, you know, quality players. Very good players. I'll touch on James Tedesco signing while I quickly find a little bit of excitement here, because it's nice when I get a situation where I get to do a mix of two different segments on this show, two little bits and pieces. Actually, I might just knock it off now, get it out of the way. That's right. That's right, that's the Hayne Watch music. So now, for those ardent listeners of the show, last year, when Jared Hayne was playing for the 49ers, the abundance of media attention that it achieved led us to create a segment on the show called Hayne Watch, where we counted how many articles we just managed to find throughout the week on mainly the Fox Sports website. And you were getting in the 50s. In a 7-day span, you were getting a good 50 articles about Jared Hayne, so we created Hayne Watch. Now, this is a combination of another one of our favourite segments, Hayne Watch meets the puppies and the babies, or Woof Woof Wah, as we like to refer to it. Now, I come across this in the Sydney Morning Herald sports section. Hayne's priorities have changed since becoming a father, says mum Jodie at Danny Widler. No surprise there, sucking up to the Hayne play. Now, this was a bit of a story. I'm going to stop that. That's enough of the music. This is a story about how Jared, even though he knocked up a random chick, well, not a random chick, a friend, it's changed him. So they had the standard Woof Woof Wahs, where, you know, the photo, the adoring look down at the youngin, Jared talking about how he's a changed man, because he's got a bit of bad PR the last, you know, year or so, especially this year. He's really struggled with the PR department. So it's time for Danny Wilder to step in and give him a bit of puppies and the babies, or Woof Woof Wah. So it's nice when I get to do Hayne Watch meets the Woof Woof Wah. It's one of my favourite segments on the show, the old Woof Woof Wah. Now, James Tedesco, I'm going to touch on that. I'm going to have a bit of a breather, and then I'll come back and we'll do a preview and talk City Country. James Tedesco signed today with the Roosters and got me thinking. Now, they're known as the Culture Club, the Sydney Cocks there. They normally sign... They find a way to be able to sign, you know, 14 internationals under the salary cap somehow. But at the same time, it got me thinking. James Tedesco signs with and he's already an absolute star player. He's an absolute superstar. I can't think of one Roosters player, a player that's been signed by the Roosters, who wasn't that good, who's managed to improve since going to the Roosters. It's one of those clubs. So you go to Melbourne and they take offshoots and just improve players. Even Cooper Cronk, when he was brought up through that system, no one wanted him. Broncos didn't want him. Same with Cam Smith. But they got in that Melbourne system and just improved out of sight. It seems to happen in a number of different clubs. People just know how to develop. Roosters, they take the opposite spectrum. They just go, yeah, wait till you start kicking ass and then we'll sign you.
I've never felt so accepted in all my life.
Yeah, back on the block, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. If you want to get in touch with me, a couple of different ways you can do it. You can do it on the Twitter. That's probably the easiest way. You go at the starting block, no K at the end. Don't forget to drop that K. And chuck us a line, say hi, or just argue with me about baseball, like one crazy Red Sox fan chose to do over the last couple of days, thinking it was appropriate to throw a ball 98 miles an hour at a player. That's fine. That's all good. He shouldn't be chucked. Just ridiculous. I'll touch on that a little bit later. Still continuing with the NRL segment, because it was just too beefy to plug into one. And being solo, it's hard to talk for 20 minutes straight. If you just sit there and yammer for 20 minutes straight, see how you go. Your voice feels a little bit strained, and quite frankly, I need a bit of a breather. Let's have a look at the preview, because it's wrap round in the NRL. You've got Australia versus New Zealand tomorrow night. Like I mentioned a little bit earlier, you've got Cameron Smith playing his 50th test. The squad we touched on last week was pretty garbage. A lot of players picked on reputation, a lot of, you know, jobs for mates. The New Zealand squad in itself was named after we were on air last week. It wasn't named until like Sunday or something. And that squad itself looks pretty good. doesn't look too bad, but New Zealand has a bad reputation when it comes to these one-off tests in the middle of the year. Getting to the end of the year, they seem to, you know, find their form, but these one-off tests seem to struggle, but the spine looks pretty solid. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck's been a lot better this year. You got Kieran Foran, Sean Johnson, all played together in club. Pretty sure Luke was the nine. The forward pack always solid, you know, with the likes of Mannering and the like. All in all, it's not a bad looking squad, and like I said, if Australia's right for the picking, it should be this particular year, because like I said, they literally just pick job for mates. So a little bit disappointing there from the Aussie side of things, but you know, never know. Still tipping the Aussies, but not by much. I think it's going to be a close game. I think Cameron Smith will guide him over the line, and Jonathan Thurston somehow has been cleared to play in what is believed to be his final test for Australia. So this will be the last time you see Jonathan Thurston in Australian colours, so maybe worth checking out. And I understand, because the Cowboys, Leon, you haven't played for us for 4 weeks. Your cast's a bit average. You struggled to pull up last week from a captain's run, couldn't play. Now you want to go play for Australia. And I think Jonathan said, look, I'm not playing with him again. Can I at least go out and have one final hurrah, especially in Cameron Smith's 50th? So, understandable, let him play, and he'll still find a way to dominate even on one leg. He's that good. Now, the other match coming up this weekend in Rep Bound, plenty of other rounds. You got the Gillaroos and whatnot. You got Samoa versus Fiji, maybe? Tonga? I forget. A couple of Pacific Island nations will be playing against each other. But you've also got the final ever City v Country. Now, I thought going into this final City v Country, players might be like, look, last chance to ever play. Let's put our hand up. Let's go and represent. Because you had Gal last week. Hey, I'll play. Yeah, I'll come out and represent every time, and I'll give it a crack. Not so much. Now, the farce, it's a farce that was the City v Country. City had to delay the naming of their team. It's meant to be named at 10:30 on Monday morning. They could not even name a squad of 17, because they could only find 15 players that were willing to play in a representative encounter for City. Now, that's just downright embarrassing. It shows why this game needed to be scrapped. Probably needed to be scrapped about 5 years ago, in all honesty. But NRL said, oh, we'll give it one more year and then we'll scrap it next year. Now, the fact that you can't even get that many players in there, there's players that haven't even played first grade this year who are going to get to line up in a City jersey. Now, I remember as a kid really enjoying the City versus Country fixture. Like, it was the heyday with, you know, your John Simon at 7 for Country. That was when City Country was at its pinnacle. But it just goes to show, as soon as it stopped being a legitimate Origin trial, that, you know, well, fans tuned out. And secondly, like, players, like, well, I'm not going to risk injury. Like, it's rep round, I get a week off, you know. Bit of sun, bit of R&R, bit of lotion, bit of, you know, drinks with the boys. I'd rather take that than, you know, head to Mudgee, get beaten up in a game that doesn't really mean anything, an exhibition game in the middle of the season. So, understandable why players pulled out and why the clubs didn't want their players out there playing as well. Time to load up a little bit more tunes, a little bit more music, because it's a double edition again this week of... That's right, the NRL Court Dates, ladies and gentlemen. Double edition this week, which is always nice. Back-to-back weeks of double edition NRL Court Dates. Good to see the NRL players getting their court form back. Brisbane Broncos forward Joe Ofahingawi has been convicted of cheating during a casino poker game earlier this month. The Brisbane's court has heard Ofahingawi, 21, was charged with cheating by fraudulent act, practice or scheme after the incident that saw him try to pocket $100 he did not legitimately win. At the end of 2015 NRL Grand Final player. Really? Do you need to reference that? Like, that's grasping at straws, really. Was at Brisbane's Treasury Casino playing a game of poker at 5:45 a.m. I'm sure the coach would have been happy with that. On April 8th, considering the season started, while you were at the casino at 5:45 a.m. when he slipped an extra $100 of chips under his initial $15 chip after the bet was already won. Now, pretty minute when it comes to the standard of, you know, NRL court dates, all in all. We've seen worse. We've definitely seen worse. And case in point is normally the, you know, domestic violence, which is always untoward. But this week, our old mate, semi-I-respect women, Red Radra, had his charges withdrawn. Two assault charges against the Parramatta Eels NRL star Semi Radradra, meaning he's now free to play in the NRL for the rest of the season. He'd been charged with two counts of common assault against his ex-girlfriend Perina Ting in November 2014. He had pleaded not guilty. In February this year, Miss Ting told the court that Radradra had punched her in the face and confessed to their pastor. Now, did we interview the pastor? That might be something you might want to look at doing. The second charge against Arada related to an allegation he pushed her against a wall and knocked her unconscious on another occasion. The barrister for Arada asked Miss Ting about a text message she alleged to have sent the player in June 2016, which said he would go to the police and media if he did not pay outstanding child support. 3 days later, the court heard that she sent a text to a friend which stated, "I wish I know someone with experience in this so I can heat up the media." The court... Or not the court, the judge, not the judge, his solicitor, said to her, "You had a plan to use the media against Semi." She replied, "No, sir, after seeking a short break," they withdrew the charges. So, make that what you may. It's one of those ones, once you paint that brush, hard to come unstuck from that.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Back on the block. It's time to do a bit of AFL review. Now, this is normally where I throw it over to my co-captain and say, look, talk about AFL for a little bit, because I know Jack. But he's not here today, so this is going to be a bit of an interesting segment where I've got a whole batch of AFL lined up with no idea what actually went on. A little bit, though. The GWS Giants got the win over the Western Bulldogs. Leon Cameron still learned how to coach this week. If we go back to week one, where the media were trying, because they got pumped a little bit in week one, well, it's Leon Cameron's fault. He's actually not that good a coach. He looked good last year, and then they haven't lost a game since. Game of the year, apparently. Game of the year, game of the last 5 years, according to all reports. I caught the back end of it. There was about 20 different lead changes. There was an unbelievable contest against the reigning premiers and GWS, who they knocked out there in the semi-final. Qualifying final, whatever the ones, whatever gets you into the grand final, that's the one that they got dusted out of. But good win there. But it was 19 behind from the Western Bulldogs. You can't be that inaccurate and expect to still get the W. The Hawks got smacked by the St Kilda Hawks. The Hawks got smacked by St Kilda, 130-55. Swannies, Carlton, who are just a shambles. They're terrible. Not so much against the Swannies outfit. He's now 0-6. 97-78. I don't know what's going on there over there at Swannies land. They can't make the playoffs now. That's done and dusted. Like, they're out. Just you heard it here first. Swannies are done and dusted. They could find a way to right some kind of ship though. Like, this is a team that's just been contenders for the last decade even. They can't even get off the duck. Get off the bagel. You had Port Adelaide destroy Brisbane Lions 150-67. North too good for Gold Coast 107-94. West Coast destroyed Freo 103-62. Home field advantage. I said it last week. Even though they played at the same stadium, home field advantage. You had Essendon get dusted by Melbourne 112-74. Collingwood too good for the Cats 107-78. And is the one we're gonna have to do a bit of this one just to kind of. Right, we're going to step back in time to last week, where we did our Chuck a Wheelie Show Your Tips for AFL, and my co-captain, he had this to say.
And Crows v Richmond.
Adelaide in to win by about 10 goals, because I reckon Richmond's been pumped up by beating soft teams to get 5-0. I reckon Adelaide is going to give them a massive bitch slap, bring them down to reality.
I'm going to sip Richmond because they're not playing at home.
Nice, Gary!
That's right. That was a combination of a nice Gary and a Nostradamo, because they didn't just win by 10. They won by 11 goals. 140-64. What a pick by the co-captain. He may have only got 4 out of 8. But at the same time, 4-9, really. 4-9 in the tips. And 4 further behind me. But he was definitely Nostradamo there, and a worthy nice Gary. The Crows, like I said, won by 11 goals, 140-64. Richmond brought down the size a little bit. All right, let's do some tips. You got St Kilda versus GWS here tomorrow night. The second back-to-back Friday night games for GWS, who in the fifth year of their existence hadn't played before last week on a Friday night. This would be a cracking game. Going to go St Kilda just because they're at home, even though I think Giants are due for a quick dip. Had a big hard-fought battle last week, so they will struggle, I think, this week. Saints looking in good form. North versus the Crows. Crows are the class of the AFL at the moment. They're very sound, so too easy there for the Crows. Collingwood versus Carlton. Wow, this is going to be a pretty average match, really. Bit of murd. Bit of murder when it comes to the quality of this one. Traditional rivals, though, but at the same time, murder. Flip a coin, really. Pies. Let's go Pies. Pies, a bit of saving face against the old enemy. Port versus West Coast. Going to tip West Coast there. Geelong versus Gold Coast. Tough one. Going to go Gold Coast because they're at home. You got the Western Bulldogs versus Richmond. Dogs, even though Richmond got off to a flyout, start the season, I think, like I said, Dogs quality, hard fought loss last week. They'll bounce back and get the win there. Your Swannies versus the Lions. Well, the Ducks got to end eventually, doesn't it? In reality, let's be frank here. Gonna go Swannies. No, I got Melbourne versus the Hawks. Gonna go Melbourne there. And Freo versus the Essendon Drug Cheats. Let's go Freo, because once again, they're at home. Yeah, back on the block, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Time to go overseas. We're going to start with a bit of F1 in Russia to kick it off last week. And this is a big congratulations. Actually, this is definitely worthy of none other than one of these ones.
Nice, Gary!
To Valtteri Bottas. Congratulations, sir. First ever F1 win. And we said when he went over to Mercedes that, look, he's probably going to be Lewis's whipping boy. He's just going to follow the team orders. But at the same time, we're like, look, this kid's got pace. He's been great in a Williams for the last couple of years, and what's been a pretty average car. He's going to win some races this year, and he's going to do it well. And if they're allowed to race together, then he'll push Lewis. He'll definitely will. Had to hold off a very fast finishing Sebastian Vettel in the Ferrari there in second. Kimi Raikkonen up there in third. Nice to have a Kimi podium, get a bit of a podium time and post-race interview there with Kimi Raikkonen there in third. And Lewis was down there in fourth, which means Sebastian Vettel extends the lead of his the F1 championship at the moment. But the tip of the hat, nice Gary all in all for Valtteri Bottas. Danny Ricciardo's got the case of the Canberra Milk Kid in Mark Webber with just no luck whatsoever. His brakes stopped working, which, you know, can be a bit troublesome when you're driving a car at 350 miles an hour. Might be an idea to get those brakes checked beforehand. Red Bull just, you know, Trouble this year. Max Verstappen ended up finishing fifth there. They're the best of the rest, but that was still a minute behind Valtteri Bottas in the Mercedes there. So, and the lack of competitors, it's just still frustrating. It's good to see at least, you know, two teams fighting for the championship this year. But same time, like, down in ninth, you got, you know, people being lapped. A minute and a half, like over a minute and a half, Nico Hülkenberg in eighth is behind. So just no good. Going to give a bit of another one of these.
Nice, Gary!
To Kimi Raikkonen. Now, we love Kimi's work here. I'm very excited to be on the Ferrari team, and just we play with what we need to do, and we just keep racing and hope for the best. Bit of Kimi work there. Now, that's the kind of quality stuff we enjoy hearing from Kimi. Now, on the radio, he's always a bit of quality as well, so the team radio. And he had nothing. He checked in with his team after the first batch of pit stops, and he had to say this to the team. How did we end up behind Bottas? Or, as it would have sounded on the radio, how did we end up behind Bottas? The team had to reply, he was leading the race, Kimi. He was leading. So nice of Kimi to check the stats and the scoreboard there to find out that's how you ended up behind him, because he was already leading. Another, I'm going to give Kimi another one of these.
Nice, Gary!
Record-breaking day in MLB earlier in the week. Now, the Mets, who've got five of the best pitchers in all of baseball in their squad, can't seem to get them fit at the same time. And they're already down a couple of pitchers. They're already out injured. And Noah Syndergaard, who apparently refused. He left the game, couldn't make his start a couple of last round, whatever it may be. His last turn in the rotation, my apologies. And he refused to undertake an MRI. He's like, nah, not doing it. I'm fine. I'm sweet. No need to MRI, guys. Don't like the tube. I'm going to stick at home, put the feet up. I'll be fine. Lasted two innings in his next start, and it turns out he hopped in the MRI tube, and he actually had a torn lat. Going to be gone for a little while that heals. But because he left so early, the Nats, who are just killing it at the moment, are probably the best team in baseball at this point of the season, had a field day. and ended up with I think 23-5 was the victory there. This isn't a rugby game. This is baseball. Anthony Rendon himself had a record-breaking day. He went 6-for-6 with 3 home runs and 10 runs batted in, setting a new national record for most RBIs in a single game and shattering his career high of 4. Only 2 other players in MLB history have ever had 6 hits and driven in 10 runs. And that happened back in 1949, and that guy went 6-for-7. He didn't get a perfect 100. No one had gone 6-for-6 with 3 home runs since 1900. 117 years since something like that had happened. The big news that's kind of happened in the MLB this week has just been the farce that is Baltimore versus Boston. Now, there's unwritten rules in baseball. Now, if you showboat a little bit, a pitcher's going to throw a ball at you. If you mouth off a little bit where you shouldn't mouth off, a pitcher's going to throw at you. And then what happens if a player gets hit, then the other team, they throw the ball and hit the batter as well, and it's normally one and done, thanks for coming. Now, this has been going on for a while now. Manny Machado yesterday had a ball thrown at him. They thought it was all done and dusted. A 98-mile-an-hour fastball was thrown at his legs, right at him. The player wasn't thrown out of the match, the pitcher, which in itself is moronic because, you know, firstly, he's their best pitcher and it was the first inning, and if you completely destroy your bullpen if you get thrown out in the first inning for doing something stupid as throwing to the batter, it's one for one. One pitcher throws at one batter, the other team does it to them, and then they're all even and then you move on. That's how it's done. But this has been going on for weeks. So Manny Machado, after, I wish I should have got the sound up, but I was worried that I couldn't cut all the swearing out of it. Must have, in a probably minute and 5 second interview, managed to pump out a good 20, 30 swear words. It was an impressive effort there by Manny. He's had enough of it. And then today, one of the pitchers accidentally hit, it wasn't intentional because it was a slow 75 mile an hour curveball. He hit a play. He was thrown, and that just opened up a new thing. It was a farce, an absolute farce. Baltimore in the end still leading, or not leading that division, but they're ahead of the Red Sox in the standings. The Giants had a, can't help but make everything just hard on themselves. 11 inning win there in extras, but it's good to see Samardzija pitching well, which is nice. And that's probably the key things. And Aaron Judge, who has already hit 13 home runs a month and a bit into this season. Less than 25 games played. Only other players that hit that many home runs in that shorter space of time in a season was Babe Ruth and Alex Rodriguez. Pretty handy company. Two of the greatest players to ever play the game. And Aaron Judge is he was ahead of Babe Ruth at the amount of home runs he'd hit this early in the season. So interesting to see how many he can hit. He's a big boy, 6'7". It's going to be interesting to see how he goes when he gets full strength, fully grows, really. Yeah, the Mitchell Stark party whistle means we're almost out of time. Quickly, NBA playoffs at the moment. We're into the second round. That first round seemed to go forever, in all honesty. Just great. It went for weeks, in all reality. Now we're only at the second round. Golden State lead Utah 1-0. Houston and San Antonio Spurs tied 1 apiece. Boston with a massive comeback win the other day against the Washington Wizards, up 2-0 all in all. And then the Cavs, no surprise, completely destroyed the Toronto Raptors at home. At their home, Cleveland's home, mind you. They're up 2-0. Spurs, just the team that just keeps on giving no matter how old they get. Unbelievable how good that squad can be. Despite looking quite old 2 days ago, everyone's like, they're too old. Write them off. All right, with that being said, I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
We'll always be bosom buddies, friends, sisters, and pals. We'll always be bosom buddies. If life should reject you, there's me to protect you.
If I say that your tongue is vicious,
if I call you uncouth,
it's simply that.
Who else but a bosom buddy will sit down and tell you the truth?